Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach at Bucknell, for joining us on yesterday's show. And that's going to become we're going to try to make it a weekly feature because there's going to be some weeks based on schedule as to whether Dave can work it out or not. But to get Bucknell basketball on and talk with Dave Paulson as often as possible, because he has a team I think has a chance to be very special this year. And we thank Dave for being on yesterday's show. Today, we're going to talk about Penn State and Nebraska. Also, take a quick look back at Purdue and Penn State when we talk with them, with Nate Mink and Ben Jones from StateCollege.com. We will have them on the show later today to talk about the Nittany Lions. Also, Gennaro Armas from AP is going to join us later in the week. Coming up tomorrow, Greg Sharp, who is the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football, and we'll have him talking about his team and what they've done so far this year. Nebraska's had some great come from behind wins. Three of them came from behind at home, beat Wisconsin 30-27. Came from behind at Northwestern when it just looked like they were just done for. And it looked like they were just done for, and they rallied and won 29-28 at Northwestern. Then last week, again, looked like they were down and out, and then suddenly they rallied and won, and they had a pass interference call that wasn't quite, it was close, ticky-tack, however you want to phrase it. It was not definitive. How about that? But still, in the end, they rallied and won in a big touchdown pass to Jamal Turner to win it by Taylor Martinez. And they won that game by a score of 28-24. So they're 7-2. And even though they're -9 giveaway takeaway, and even though they've given up 76 points off of those turnovers they've had, they have still been able to win games. And they're 7-2 on the year. We're going to talk about that with Ben and with Nate in just a little bit on the show. But before we get to that, it is time for Above the Noise. UKOK. Here on this gorgeous Wednesday, we'll hear from StateCollege.com. And just a little bit with Nate Mink, Ben Jones will join us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we also have the Lenape Solar hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to Lenape Solar at LenapeSolar.com. Great to have you with us on board. Kyle on board today.
Hello, Steve.
Great to have you on board, Kyle. And, of course, Sarah needs a couple of days off. There was she had a death in her family.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yes, so our deepest condolences to her. And also, Kevin is in the midst of, this is the big week. They finally get this thing done and put away. And he also has the big game with Shikellamy and Milton coming up. Now, today, we're going to have on with us Nate Mink, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Then tomorrow, Walt Moody of the Center Daily Times. Then coming up tomorrow as well, Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football. Coming up on Friday, we'll have Dave Revson, Big Ten Network, joining us on Friday's show, along with Brian Scott of the Buffalo Bills. We'll slip that in for you as well. A little bit with Patrick Chambers on Friday. A little bit with Bill O'Brien on Friday as well. So that's what we have going into this big game with Nebraska coming up. And, of course, the Nittany Lion basketball opener is Friday night at 7, 6:30 the airtime on the Penn State Network stations. Of course, we have Shikellamy and Milton coming up on Friday night. So we're looking forward to that. And so that's what we have. It's going to be, obviously, an interesting game on Saturday. I'm excited to see this game. I want to see how this one plays out. This Nebraska team has been able to put together and forge several incredible, impressive fourth quarter comebacks. And they've been down by a total of 39 points in the fourth quarter of games, and the three that rallied to win by a total of 8. So this team is to the doorstep of being 4-5, yet they're 7-2, and they're -9 giveaway takeaway. I've never heard of that in being 7-2. They've given up 76 points a game, 76 points this season off of takeaways, yet they're still 7-2. I've never heard of anything like that. And they're undefeated at home on top of it. So it is very good. I think it's a great matchup. I'm looking forward to this matchup very, very much. Between these two teams. You like to talk about it? That'd be great. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline. Of course, the BCS, the way it's playing out, we'll have to see how that plays out, because right now it's 1 Alabama, 2 Kansas State, 3 Oregon, and 4 Notre Dame. Notre Dame's in the toughest spot. For one thing, they don't win big, even though margin's not supposed to play into it. Their schedule is okay. It's not great. I mean, Wake Forest coming up, not going to help them. BC coming up, not going to help them. Beating Pitt doesn't help them. Really, beating Stanford wasn't a big help. Beating Oklahoma was huge. Beating Michigan State hasn't helped. Beating Purdue hasn't helped. Beating Michigan, though, at the moment was great, and I think it does help. And they're a good football team, great defensive football team. Okay at wide receiver. Very good at tailback. And I think both the quarterbacks are pretty good. Yeah, when you look at it. Now, do you want to see Notre Dame play Alabama? No, I think everybody would rather see Oregon play Alabama. And that could be the kind of game that, you know, the contrast is so incredible. I think people would be incredibly entertained by it. So, and Daryl Royal passed away today. Great career from 57 to 76. 3 national titles, 11 Southwest Conference championships, 167 wins. You know, he, along with Emery Ballard, came together and put together the wishbone. Royal brought Texas through integration. And you know, and he did integrate his team, but he also has the distinction of being the last guy to coach an all-white national championship team. That was 1969. But the way you see Texas football today, a lot of it traces to Daryl Royal. Only met him one time. No ego. He always talked about Emery Ballard was the one that came up with the wishbone offense. This wasn't his deal. And, you know, Daryl Royal got out after 20 years. He was 88 years old when he passed away. He suffered from Alzheimer's at the end, which is a real shame. I did meet him once. I met him in 1989. And a gentleman, without question. Met him one time, 1989, at Memorial Stadium in Texas when Penn State went down there to play. And that, by the way, is one of the true signature moments in the history of Penn State football. when Penn State went to the Cotton Bowl in 1972, Eddie Phillips was the quarterback. I think Steve Wooster was their big running back in the wishbone. And the wishbone had been running through everybody at the time. And Joe Paterno, and Joe coached the defense back then. Joe coached everything. Joe coached offense, defense. He coached the whole thing. He called every play, called every defense in 1972. Joe countered it by having his linebackers run a wishbone look on defense. And they became the first team to hold the Texas wishbone without a touchdown. Penn State won the game in 1972 in the Cotton Bowl, 30-6. Lydell Mitchell had a huge day, was the game's MVP. Scott Skarzinski had a big catch in that game from John Huffnagel. I think it was like a 69-yard touchdown play. But the story was the Penn State defense. 30-6, Penn State won the game. And even though Penn State had picked up wins over Missouri and Kansas in the back-to-back Orange Bowls, and even though they'd had the 31-game unbeaten streak, if you had to circle a moment that was Penn State's coming out party as a football program under Joe Paterno, despite the fact they had been unbeaten 31 in a row, despite the fact they had beaten Kansas and Missouri in the Orange Bowls, the entire country stood up and took notice of that day in the Cotton Bowl when Penn State walked in there against Darryl Royal and that vaunted Texas wishbone and shut them down 30-6. That was as significant a win as Joe ever had and as Penn State's ever had. Darryl Royal passing away today at 88. StateCollege.com coming up next with Nate Mink, Ben Jones here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. News is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your information source, 759565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Penn State, Nebraska, Saturday, Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Looking forward to it. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And joining us today here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, as they do every Wednesday, Nate Mink and Ben Jones from StateCollege.com. Nate just back from a wild, raucous, wild weekend in Lafayette. Right, Nate?
No, I couldn't get out there. Couldn't get out of there soon enough. In fact, my flight left at 7:30 p.m. I book late flights on Sunday to try to do a bunch of work on Sunday afternoon, and it was just a wasteland out by the Indy Airport.
And who a week ago gave you advice as to what it was like out there? And how correct was that individual?
Learn my lesson. Respect your elders.
Good one.
Elders. It is getting to the point where, yeah, I guess it is getting to the point where, yeah, you kind of look around the room. I am the one with the most gray hair, so.
The only one with gray hair.
Still have hair.
Yeah, I know.
You and I are about the same.
Huh?
You and I are about the same in that category. Follicles.
Yeah.
That's why I like Bill O'Brien. Opening press conference, follically challenged. All of a sudden, he won a place in my heart.
Yeah,
he won a place in my heart.
Yeah, you know, it's... It took me almost 55 years to get this. What the heck?
It's the look you were dreaming for.
No, not really. But it just happens over time. Now, neither of you are going to Lincoln this week.
Which I've heard through the grapevine that that's not necessarily a bad thing either. But
there's not every place I've gone to where the chicken plant caught on fire, okay?
CVS, which is the only place in downtown Lincoln that sells food, closes at 6 p.m. Besides the restaurants.
Excuse me. It's a good CVS. All right. You look at Penn State. I think everyone expected it was going to be a win, and I think everyone expected that it might be a win that they did with some semblance of ease. How did it play out in front of your eyes?
What are you talking about? They gave up first quarter points.
I saw that. Outrage.
Yeah, seriously, sound the alarm. No, they continue to handle business on the road, and, you know, yeah, is it likely that the three Big Ten road opponents they faced aren't exactly the cream of the crop? Yeah, that probably has a little bit to do with it. But I think there's still something to be said that they're still going out in some road environments and not only beating teams, but beating them soundly, obliterating them, taking those crowds out of the games early and really not letting their foot up off the gas for 60 minutes. Trust me, I'm sure they weren't really happy with Purdue scoring on the last play of the game. They take a lot of pride in playing a full 60 minutes. You kind of had the sense that Marv, with the ACL situation, wouldn't be really effective. I mean, if they played their assignments and took away that short intermediate game, Purdue would have some trouble moving the ball, and that certainly played out well. Like I said, Purdue scored on their first drive and on the last play of the game, and they had nothing in between. Offensively, it was back to normal for them. They got going offensively again. The running back situation is really, I think, the interesting point at this point of the season for the offense. Obviously, Zwinak had a career day on the ground, 134. Belton, no touches, and we'll see how that situation unfolds moving forward too. But overall, win's a win, a win's a win, and now we go into Saturday, and it's really their last big chance to get a signature win on the road.
Yeah, on the road, yeah. Ben, you watched it from here.
Yeah, I watched it with intermittent sprinklings of John Graham layups. So my seat from the Jordan Center was not quite the same as Nate's. But, overall, they did what they needed to do. You know, Penn State loses against Ohio State, and you always run the risk when you lose a big game like that they're so emotionally invested in, and you go on the road, you could lose that. I don't think anybody thought that Purdue was going to beat them. But you always run that risk. But Penn State came out. They looked good. They gave up the first quarter points, but I think that's probably not the worst thing that's ever happened to this team. So, they look good, and they needed to, and I think it gets them right on the right track again.
Yeah, with Nebraska now next. And it's certainly, again, different kind of game. Before I get to that, you mentioned you were at the Jordan Center. You watched the exhibition game. What were your thoughts?
I think they look good. I think the first half was kind of throwaway because they're a little rusty playing in front of people. You always get that kind of, we're not hitting our shots and everything. But John Graham looks good. The backcourt with DJ Newbill and Tim Frazier looks as good as advertised. And, you got to assume that Newbill's going to get better the more time that he gets, playing after, sitting out a whole year. Like, it seems like every season it's going to come down to, how good is their defense? Do their big men produce, and can they shoot the three? And, they seem to have the parts there to be able to do that. It's just a matter of whether they can put it together. And it's the Big Ten basketball is not mirroring Big Ten football this year. It's going to be a lot harder to win in basketball than it is in football.
So. It's going to be the ultimate possession game in basketball this year because of the quality that you play. There are certain teams that when you play them, that you feel if you win games in the 4-minute media timeout increments, you can then put yourself in a position to win. But there are three or four teams in the Big Ten this year where it's a possession by possession game. You have to win as many possessions as possible because they are that good and that talented. It's just the way the league's going to be this year.
I remember Eddie DeCellis always saying, hey, we just needed one more rebound or one more stop defensively. He was always preaching, give me one more. And that just gives you an idea of how close this league is. I mean, the discrepancy between a Penn State and an Indiana looks great on paper. But once you get sometimes in these 40-minute, slugfests, it really comes down to just a handful or more possessions that swing a game.
All right, and you don't know when those possessions might be. Mm-hmm. Dick and I always feel that there are usually three chances in a game for the superior talented team to put a team away. And if you let the first two slip by, the third one becomes very precarious. All right, and that's what you have to aim for. You have to aim for not under, you know, make sure you're not knocked out early. Then when you're hanging around, and then they make that big run, that second big run, that you repel it. If you do that, now it's anybody, you know, whether they get their third shot at it or whether you just take it. And that's the way it is in conference when you're playing teams in which there is a slight talent disparity. Each team has talent, but there's still a slight talent disparity. Nebraska, out there. Interesting story. This team is 3 comeback wins away from being 4-5, but instead, because they have shown the fortitude, they're 7-2. I have never seen a team be -9 giveaway takeaway and be 7-2. They average 2.5 fumbles a game.
It's an amazing stat.
What makes them? They don't lose them all. They lose 1.5 a game and they recover 1 a game. But what makes them a team that is actually 7-2 despite overcoming things like that?
You know, does it say something about the competition? Does it say something about the Big Ten where you have that advantage and teams can't put you down? You know, the door is open to hang around and win some of those close games. I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, they have a lot of talent. I mean, obviously it starts with the quarterback, Taylor Martinez. I mean, he's improved tremendously as a passer. And, you know, he's going to, you know, Braxton Miller is a bigger runner, maybe a shiftier runner. Taylor Martinez is a lot faster.
The straight line speed.
And that's what some of the guys talked about earlier this week, that straight line speed. If he gets into that second level, he's going to be tough to catch. But he also, I think, is a much better passer than Braxton Miller was. I think he's completing something north of 60% of his
63,
throws.
63, yeah.
North of 60% of his throws. So, you know, this is going to be a real... I mean, I think open field tackling, which was really solid on Saturday at Purdue, is going to be another point of emphasis for the defense, and particularly the linebackers and secondary. Amos, Obeng, Morris, they got to continue their physical play and just continue to make open field tackles.
No question.
Yeah, Nebraska's kind of an odd team. I watched that game they played against Ohio State where it looked like it was going to be like 80 to 100 by the time it was all said and done.
Right.
But they have moments where they seem to kind of fall asleep, and I don't think that's probably fair to them just considering how odd that game was. But like Nate said, Taylor Martinez is a lot better this year than he's been in the past few years, and I agree that he's probably overlooked in his mobility, not statistically, but when you think of the quarterbacks in the Big Ten that are able to just tuck in and run, I think Taylor Martinez gets looked over at times. Maybe because he's not as flashy as Denard Robinson or Braxton Miller, but you know, if he's got a hole and he thinks he can tuck it and run, you know, you better hope you got somebody out there because he's going to get 30 yards on you.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Rex Burkhead has been in and out of the lineup. He's only played 3 full games this year, parts of 2 others. He's missed the last 2 games. Abdul has done a nice job stepping in for him. And I thought he played well against Penn State. Abdul played well last year against Penn State. The pass number, they lead giving up just 46% through the air. On paper, sounds impressive. Or is that a reflection of playing Braxton Miller, Denard Robinson, and Andrew Maxwell?
I'm going to make a stone-cold lock prediction here. If Matt McGloin completes 46% of his throws on Saturday, I don't think Penn State's going to win.
It's over.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I mean, Matt McGloin is the best pocket passer in the Big Ten this year, I mean, without question. So, and obviously Nebraska has yet to play Penn State. So, yeah, I think a lot of it is Braxton Miller, some of the other quarterbacks, you know, Maxwell at Michigan State. I guess it was Danny O'Brien still playing when they played Wisconsin back early in the year. Regardless,
Stave played that game.
Regardless, I mean, they haven't really had that, you know, that quick strike passing attack that Penn State can really employ and deploy on Saturday. So, you know, Nebraska, you know, I like what they do. defensively. You know, they have a big defensive line. They're always tough in the trenches. You know, it's kind of what a lot of people have harped on this week. You know, when you're out in Iowa and in Nebraska and the farmland out there, you have a great walk-on program. You feed these guys the right thing. A lot of protein out there. I mean, these guys, you know, their strength and conditioning program is world-renowned. I think the whole Olympic lift system started there, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. In fact, the weight room extends to Omaha.
Yeah. I mean, it's just incredible how well-conditioned these guys are and just how tough they are.
And then there's the atmosphere of it. It's interesting because I think there's only one guy on the set. I think Charlie Fisher's been out there. And I think that's it. So they haven't been out there. They're loud. But in favor of their team, that's not a hostile crowd. They don't hate you. They love their team. I mean, when the game is over, even if Penn State wins the game, the fans over the Northwest Tunnel will give them a standing ovation when they leave. It's an incredible show of sportsmanship, and this is the 324th consecutive sellout they've had. But still, they've handled loud environments so far this year, and I got to give them credit for that. The way they really handle it with complete ease. When you watch, what do you see?
Well, I mean, we talked about this off the air a couple weeks ago, that really good teams, you know, atmosphere like that isn't going to get in their heads.
Right.
And we've seen that, like you said, so far. They go to Iowa and they shut that. I mean, Iowa never had a chance to get loud. That game was,
right.
You know, they never got back into that one. And, you know, I think they managed to get through the hostile environment of Purdue. Okay.
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they've proven that they can play in big-time atmospheres on the road. But, like you said, Nebraska's a heck of a place to play. It's probably one of the places that I want to go someday. There and Wisconsin would both be cool places.
Both. Now, the atmospheres are a little different. They're both the same in terms of noise level. Very, very loud. Both the same in terms of red. Wisconsin's a little more hostile, especially the student body. Just a little bit more. All right, now, let's talk about the first down part. Penn State averages 5.8 yards a play on first down. Pretty impressive. That's really good. In fact, 46% of Penn State's offense is on first down. Nebraska averages 7.3 yards a play on first down. I mean, they're staying on schedule and they're staying on schedule. Every down becomes important in a possession game like this, but just controlling that down, what could it mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge because tempo is such a big facet of both teams' offense. And if you stall on first down, then you got to, for the most part, you probably got to huddle again and, you know, just try to get something on second down. The second down play calls, as Bill O'Brien has alluded to all year, changes dramatically when you have a second and six or a second and four or a second and three. You can, I mean, that's, you know, it's, to quote him, it's like a play caller's dream. Whereas right. If you're looking again at, you know, second and eight, second and nine, second and ten, then you pretty much, you know, got to start, you know, cutting into what you want to do on third down and maybe take away half of that yardage to set up a manageable third down, or, you know, it just limits what you can do offensively.
Right.
And, you know, and both of these teams play so fast and want to push tempo that, you know, getting off the ball quick, you know, getting a good start on first down, I think will really accelerate them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge staying on schedule. You saw it at the Ohio State game. Penn State gets a false start, and it's first and 15. And I think it was like the first or second time that they went NASCAR, and they blew the tires on that thing. That drive was over as soon as they got off schedule, and it was just first down. So,
right.
I mean, obviously, if Penn State's able to keep Nebraska, you know, below their average, and, you know, I'd like to think that they're probably aiming below 5 yards because giving up six on first down is not much better.
Right.
But, you know, it's going to be crucial, especially when, like Nate said, both teams are going to be trying to control the tempo.
All right. The Nebraska defense, they've given up points. Do you find it interesting that the one offense that they have faced so far that's at least neighborhood-wise, schematically as close to this as UCLA, and UCLA had success?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I mean, talent means something.
Yeah, talent means something. I guess, looking at my notes, I had to go all the way out to UCLA for that. You know, even just the fact that it was the second week of the season in early September. Mm-hmm. A lot changes, but you know, it's, I mean, yeah, if you're Penn State and you realize that, you know, what you do offensively is similar and you maybe have similar personnel to what UCLA has, mm-hmm. you maybe, you know, keep that tape popped in there a little bit longer when you do your film study, right. and try to pick and choose your matchups that way. I think Penn State ultimately is gonna want to do what they're gonna want to do. You know, they're not gonna try to force anything just because they may have seen, you know, UCLA have success with it. I mean, ultimately, Penn State's personnel, they know that better than anyone else.
Sure.
And they're gonna obviously, you know, try to exploit what they can do with their personnel on Saturday.
All right. Ben, what are some keys that you look at in this particular game?
It's going to be getting the offense going early, being able to find their rhythm. That they never really found that against Ohio State. They made mental errors that were on force, and I think if they can eliminate those things, they have a chance to stay in this game because Nebraska's given up 24 or more points in every Big Ten game they've played this year except for against Michigan.
Right.
So the points are there to be had. If you play your game and don't make mistakes, they can be in this game, but the problem is that they have to be able to get going early. They don't have the benefit necessarily of waiting until the second quarter until they start, you know, figuring things out. And I mean, if the defense shows up and plays well, and if we assume that Jordan Hill's probably not going to play or is probably not 100% if he does play, then, you know, other guys are going to have to step up, and that puts an even larger load on the defense to be able to make plays on defense. So the faster the offense gets going, you know, the better position Penn State will be in to be in that game.
Ben, Nate, thanks so much. Appreciate it. As always, guys. And they're joining us today in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Again, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
When you think about better water, think an oasis, as in home, your.
To the top of the hour we go here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Next hour, open line time. Love to hear what you think about what's going on in sports. Well, the big weekend coming up, Penn State at Nebraska. Milton and Shikellamy in their rematch this week. Bucknell fresh off their win over Fordham. We'll play at Georgetown this week. Bucknell basketball. We had Dave Paulson on yesterday. We'll open at Purdue on Friday night. The Nittany Lions open Friday night with St. Francis here at the Jordan Center. So it's another big week, and we're in that transition time between football and basketball season. In fact, 2 weeks from Friday, it's going to be Penn State and Bucknell head-to-head in the Jordan Center. Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, day before the Wisconsin football game. I am excited for that one. It'd be good to have Doug on hand for that. Maybe we get Drew Kelly up here and get Sean Carey and Allie Stevens, Sarah Bartlett. Am I leaving out somebody? I know there's somebody else. Oh, that's right. Kay Herr, Esquire. Probably driving around in a car right now saying, I'm going to get that guy. News is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.